we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Go! We're here. This is Bob Arthurs from Merritt Assembly of God, and we are glad that you have tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM, today's modern worship, to spend the next half hour with us as we are talking about the Word of God. We're going to be in Psalm 86 today. Psalm 86, and we're continuing in our series on studying Deliver Us from Evil, Deliver Us from the Evil One, and we're highlighting some aspects from Psalm 86. We're going to eventually end up in verse number 13 is where we're headed in this study. I don't know if we'll get there today or not, but we'll keep plodding along. The great thing about the Word of God is every word is God-breathed. And so we believe in the inspiration of Scripture. And so every time you open the Word of God, you're going to find treasure for your soul. And I pray that during this time where you might find yourself with a little bit more free time than you normally do, to avail yourself of the opportunity to spend some time with God that you might not have had before. One of the things that I have found is that whenever the devil has been in a mode of harassing me, that when I say, you know, instead of allowing this to distract me, I'm going to allow it to bring me into more clarity of focus, and I begin to pray and see God more. And you know what happens is whenever you submit to God, then you resist the devil flees. And so if the devil's tactic is the weaponry that he uses is designed to separate us from God, but if we will deliberately choose the opposite and say, instead of parting me from God, I'm going to allow this to drive me deeper into God, then the enemy is going to stop using that weapon because he doesn't want you growing in your faith. Remember during this season that God loves you, the devil hates you. The devil is not going to do anything that is going to make your life better. He will do a whole lot of things that will make your life worse. So let's begin reading Psalm 86 today, and I guess we'll read the whole psalm. We didn't get very far yesterday, the first three or four verses. So verse number one says this: "Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your ways, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, the proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life and have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. O turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign for good that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. So here we are this week. This is the Passion Week. This is the week between the triumphal entry into Jerusalem and the triumphant entry into the grave and out of the grave and into the presence of the Father. So remember that things might look bad for a moment, but that God can turn those things around in just a moment. So let's talk about God for just a moment. Okay? Verse number 5 says this. This is Psalm 86, 5. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Okay? So you are good. You are ready to forgive. There are a number of passages here where we talk about the nature of God. In verse number 10, it says, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Verse number 13, for great is your mercy toward me. Verse number 15, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. And then in verse number 17, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. There's not a bad attribute in there. There's not an attribute in that list that the devil has 1 ounce of. Why people would choose not to be in a relationship with such a wonderful, holy God is amazing to me. So let's look at this for just a moment. For you, Lord, let's fixate on that for just a moment. See, I believe that when the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength, that it is not just talking about the joy that the Lord provides, but it is the joy that comes from God being the Lord of our life. So while we were traveling, we got to spend a lot more time with my son and grandson than we normally do. And I watched this very large man and this very tiny boy, and what a wonderful relationship that there was between the two of them. There are rules, but there is compassion. There's mercy. There's teaching that was going on there. They really have a fantastic, fantastic relationship. And I took a trip with my son when he was almost the same age as my grandson now, and we titled that the We Two Men Trip, the We Two Men Trip. And so my son presented this to his son, that it was going to be a We Two Men Trip. And so it was very refreshing for me to see that there's this person. Yes, Dad has all of the authority in that situation, but it is not a selfish authority. It is the authority to love. It is the authority to look out for his best interest, to provide healing for his body. He made sure that, you know, whatever he needed during that trip to stay healthy, that he got. He prepared the atmosphere around him. He made sure that there was food that his son would like. It was a really, really amazing trip from that perspective. For you, Lord, are good. You know, many times whenever we enter into a relationship with a new person. And so let's put this in relation to a dating situation, if we can. I've got to go way, way back in the archives for that. But I remember when I was in grade school, middle school, when I was in middle school, I remember that school started around 8:30 or something like that. And there were girls who were talking about getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning in order to get ready to go to school. And they didn't ride the bus. It just wasn't that far. You know, it might be a 20-minute walk at tops. And they were talking about getting up at 4 o'clock because they wanted to make sure that they put their best foot forward. Now, I was more of the guy, okay, let me get as much sleep in as I can so that I've got time to brush my teeth and brush my hair and put on some clean clothes and get out the door. That was more of my mindset. But there were a lot of people, they were doing all of this primping and making sure that they looked absolutely stunning for the day. And then, you know, later on, whenever dating started happening, they did everything, you know, people generally do everything that they can to make sure that they come across as the best them that they could possibly be. And little by little, the longer the relationship goes, the more that they find out about the person's weaknesses. They find out about some of their imperfections. And so the longer you are with a person, the more flaws in that person you begin to see. And so, you know, hence the statement, love is blind. And then, you know, I'm kind of thankful for that. We looked at a lot of pictures while we were with family, and I saw pictures of how stunning my wife was from back when we were very young, and she obviously had to have a vision impairment not to see how ugly I was during that time. And so I looked at that and I remember us going through that season where, you know, you just couldn't do anything wrong. And then all of a sudden you begin to find out that the other person has flaws and you see them change through the years. And some people never can adjust to the fact that the people aren't as perfect as they thought they were. But good news, you aren't either. I'm not perfect and you're not perfect. And so we need to be merciful. Lord, you are good. Unlike that dynamic we just talked about with people, the longer you have a relationship with God, you find out that there are no flaws in his character. There are no weaknesses. There are no imperfections. He is good all the time. He is good morally. He is good in behavior. He is good intellectually. He is good emotionally. He is good. On the contrary, the devil is bad all the time. All the time. It should not be any contest. If you want goodness and mercy in your life, you need to have the Lord as your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I know I skipped words in there. I was just looking to get to that point. Surely, if you want goodness and mercy in your life, you need the Lord as your shepherd. He says, the Lord is good and he is ready to forgive. That's the great news about this week. Is it's an annual reminder that Jesus stands ready to forgive. So I was doing a little praying the other day. Not that that's all that I do, but I was in a moment where I had some time, and so I was praying, and God just dropped something in my spirit, and it said, I wonder, this is me, ask them about unforgiveness. Ask them about unforgiveness. There's some things going on in their life, and so they may not have anything in their life, but I'm going to be obedient to the Lord, and I'm going to ask them, you know, are you harboring any bitterness or any unforgiveness in your life? Because that can have dire consequences in us. God is ready to forgive, and as recipients of God's forgiveness, we also need to be ready to forgive. God is abundant in mercy to all those who call upon him. Okay? So we need to come before this God who is abundant in mercy. It's not that he's rationing it out in drips and drops. He's abundant in mercy. He is long-suffering. He's not only abundant in mercy, but he is abundant in truth. Okay? And so there are ways to communicate all of these things. And we need to become very skilled at communicating that God is abundant in mercy. But that doesn't mean that we abuse that practice and we set aside the obedience to his commandments. Instead, we look at it and say, because I love him and because I know that he's looking out for my best interest, I'm going to be obedient to him. God says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Not because we're in some sort of slavery to that in the negative connotation. We do it because we know that he loves us and that his commandments are good for us. So let's look down to verse number 10. For you are great and do wondrous things. Do wondrous things. One of the things as Pentecostals that we believe is that signs and wonders accompany them that believe. Mark chapter 16. We believe, like it says in Daniel, that those who know their God shall do great exploits. Not that it is our behavior per se, but it is God acting through us, that he is ministering through us. But the more that we know him, the more that we are going to be aware that he does great and marvelous things. He does wondrous things. This is a king who writes this, not a prophet, although he does serve in a prophetic realm. But this was a guy who started out tending sheep, and he knew God, and then he became a musician, and he served before kings, and he fought giants and was victorious, and he fought armies and was victorious, and he came to this understanding that God does great, wondrous things. He does wondrous things because he is great. Drop down verse number 13, for great is your mercy toward me. Verse number 15, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious. Another translation puts it for that God is merciful and gracious. And I'm going to add one more there. And he is long suffering. He is extremely patient. And that's something that we need to remember. Anytime that you grow impatient with a person because they haven't responded to God as quickly as you would like, ask yourself this question. How much patience did God show with me before I said yes to his plan? And I think that if we did that, we'll realize Everybody is going to be different. Okay? Really wish that we would respond that first time, but sometimes people need a second invitation, and some people need a third invitation, and some people need 1,000 invitations. But God is long-suffering. He is full of compassion. It, you know, if I can put it in an expression, it oozes out of his pores. It radiates from his nature. It is who he is. It is true. God is love. God is merciful. God is gracious. Okay? That's the reason that David could come to him. He says, I know that you have all of this and you're abundant in truth. I really like the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You can, there's a commercial on television. I don't know the program. I've never watched the program. But it has something to do with long distance relationships. Couldn't even tell you what the name of the program is. But I remember that on there, they talk about people who are misrepresenting some of the aspects of their life. And then when they meet in person, they find out, that's not exactly 100% true. Jesus always tells us the truth. He is long-suffering and abundant in truth. And you don't ever have to worry about whether he is enhancing the story, enhancing the qualities or anything like that. He is abundant in truth. Let me take you down to verse number 17. And it says this, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Because you have helped me and comforted me. I want to encourage you to develop a relationship with God the Father. I want to encourage you to develop a relationship with Jesus the Son. And I want to encourage you to develop a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. You say, I'm not into that Pentecostal stuff. Okay. But have you ever needed help? Have you ever needed, because that's what the Holy Spirit was assigned to do in your life and my life. Not to help us to run away from God, but to help us in our relationship to draw near to God. One of the words for the Holy Spirit is the word paraclete. It means one who is called alongside to help. One who is called alongside to help. And sooner or later, you're going to find that you're in a position to need help. You might need help filling out an application. You might need help from a doctor. You might need help financially. You might need help picking something up. You might need help going through a very difficult season in your life. And the great news about the Holy Spirit is he is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in order to be able to help. So why would we deprive ourselves of divine assistance? I don't know if you've ever had somebody who tried to help and they made matters worse. I've seen that. I was someplace here not too long ago. There was a vehicle that was broken down, and I drove by a little bit later, and the vehicle wasn't where it was. And I thought, oh, wow, somebody was there to help, and they got the vehicle up and running, and And then I drove by again and I realized that it wasn't where it was, but it was still, the vehicle was still in the same property that it was. And the help was inadequate. And all they did was push the broken down vehicle out of the way. And I looked and said, you know what? It took some help to be able to get that vehicle where it ended up. Every one of us needs help. We cannot do life the way God wants us to do it without the Holy Spirit. He encourages us to draw near to God. And the other thing is not only help, but He is the comforter. He is the one who comes along and turns mourning into dancing. My daughter, right before everything happened with my mother, had said, Dad, you've got to listen to this song. It's absolutely wonderful. And so I listened to the song, and it was titled Gardens or Graves to Gardens. I keep wanting to get that back mixed, those words inverted there. Graves to Gardens. And it talks about all of the wonderful things that God transforms from a desperate place. He turns mourning into dancing. He turns sorrow into joy. He turns defeat into victory. You'd have to go and online and look at it. But she was constantly feeding herself on that particular concept that God is our comforter. Okay? He just doesn't make us feel better about feeling bad. He comforts us and equips us, empowers us to move beyond that valley of the shadow of death, move beyond that affliction, and be empowered with the word of His truth and the power of God working in us and through us. And He says, I'm going to comfort you right now, but I'm going to equip you to be more than a conqueror. You are not meant to stay in the valley of the shadow of death. Go through that thing. Long story that I heard a long time ago, and I'll try and abbreviate it in 20 seconds here, was a lady came to her pastor and said, this is what I'm going through. And the pastor started rejoicing. And she said, didn't you hear what you said I was going through? He said, I'm sorry. All I heard you say was you were going through. The Holy Spirit will give you the direction that you need. You're going to come out the other side. You will be victorious. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
There's an enemy who stalks us. He's full of hate and full of lies. He is hungry to destroy us, to seize and end our lives. He's the ruler of the darkness, and he's waiting for his prey. Son of David, drive.